welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We brought Joanna Pineda back on the show. We're celebrating the recent book launch of Business Leaders Edition of Mission Matters. Joanna is the founder, CEO, and chief troublemaker over at Matrix Group International. Joanna, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Adam. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. Whether we're on the air or not, it's just so fun to chat with you. I gotta come see you.
I am so excited to have you back on. Today, we'll talk about the book. We'll talk about, of course, Matrix Group International. We're going to talk about, hopefully, maybe I can squeeze in some of your side projects you got going on as well. Obviously, your podcast, we're going to talk about that. Lots to cover today, but we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with our Mission Matters Minute. So Joanna, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Joanna, what mission matters to you?
So, you know, my personal mission and the mission of my company is to really help associations and nonprofits increase membership, generate revenue, and thrive in the digital space. Like, I want to help these organizations do good and change the world.
Yeah, love bringing you back on the show and love supporting other mission-based entrepreneurs. So I guess just to get us kicked off, I just got to say congrats, new book. How do you feel?
Amazing. You know, Adam, I'm so grateful to you. I had wanted to be an author and you made it easy and you made it really meaningful. And I got to write about something that means a lot to me personally, which is, you know, making customer journeys amazing. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, my honor to definitely to put your writing in ink and to bring it to our audience and to get you published and of course to amplify your mission. So it's been fun. It's been a fun journey. And I know we're just getting started on the book promo and all the things we have lined up and planned. But I want to take a moment or two and just kind of take a step back from the book promo, from maybe the projects we're working on and other things, and just to talk a little bit about your background for the audience, just to let you know, we did a deep dive into Joanna and her background, but I don't want, and if you want to check that out, the other show, the link will be in the show notes to our previous episode. But I don't want to assume that everybody, all our new listeners caught our previous work, Joanna. So maybe let's just take a moment or two and give us a little bit more of a background on how you got started on this journey to really creating amazing customer journeys.
Well, so Matrix Group has been around 23 years. So I've been doing this a long time. And before that, I actually worked for a bulletin board company. And before that, I thought I was going to be a diplomat. Or I was going to work at the UN. I have 2 degrees in international relations, and somehow that didn't quite work out. I ended up in tech, and then I ended up, you know, kind of in a situation where I said, tech for tech's sake isn't exactly where I want to be. I really want to be tech in service of the greater mission of our clients. Hmm. So we really changed the company to be much more focused on tech to help our particular clients. And we're here in the DC area. So we focus not exclusively, but a lot on associations, nonprofits, foundations, et cetera, on really helping them to thrive in the digital space. So whether it's developing websites, creating mobile apps, helping them with their social media and their e-marketing, or helping them with their virtual and hybrid meetings, it's all about creating these amazing experiences for their members and prospective members so that they become very, very strongly affiliated with the organizations. And the organizations become really strong as a result because they've got engaged members, they're healthy, you know, in terms of revenue, and they have people who really care about the organization and about the industry.
Yeah. And I think, and obviously we were going to have you write about this because this is your expertise. You've been doing it for a long time and you've had the vantage point of seeing even the evolution of technology and other ways to do things. So let's dive right into the book. So how to create amazing digital customer journeys. What was the inspiration for this?
You know, the inspiration for this is there's actually a couple. There was, you know, on a regular basis, what we're doing is helping our clients to, you know, do something digitally. They might say, we want to create a new website and we want to have an amazing search. Mm-hmm. Or we want to make sure that our journal really provides amazing access to our members, whether they're academics or, you know, or students. And I think what we were finding was sometimes even when the tech quote worked, that still that the customers, the members, the users weren't always 100% satisfied. So we said, you know, many, many years ago, we have to look at this differently. We have to really look at this from the perspective of the customers, from the perspectives of the members, and we have to figure out where the friction points are in the journey so that we can fix them. And so number one, Adam, I think that one of the things that we do at Matrix is we try and figure out where the journeys even start. So, and I'm actually inspired by a friend of mine who not recently, but many years ago, walked the Camino del Santiago, you know, the pilgrimage walk in Spain.
Yeah.
And he said something really interesting to me. He said, you know, my Camino started when I walked out of my hotel in France and started my journey. But he said, you know, 200 or 300 years ago, if you were a pilgrim from Germany, your journey started when you left your house. And you had to get to France to be able to even start the Camino. So that's the philosophy that we take. So I think sometimes, you know, companies that are developing these digital properties or digital projects, they'll say they think the journey starts when you get to the shopping cart or when you get to the registration page. But we actually say the journey started, oh, way long before when someone like Adam said, gee, I'm curious about X or I need X. And so maybe they start with Google or maybe they start with a website or maybe they start with an email. So if that's the journey, how do you make sure that the journey from Google to website to e-commerce is a really great one so that along the way, people don't get frustrated, people don't get lost. So really the journey metaphor is very apt here and people don't abandon. Right. I mean, you've probably run into that where you're like, I can't figure out what to do here. You're going to find someplace else. You're going to go to Amazon because it might be a little bit more expensive, but Amazon's easy.
Yep. Exactly.
So that's where we started. And we said, how do we find these friction points? And I'll just say one thing. We find that often these friction points take place when customers or members cross systems. So when they go from Google to the website, when they go from Google to the reg form, when they go from the website to the e-commerce site, all of a sudden, you know, the system changes and you haven't really thought through the journey because the journey was really considered to be starting at the point of e-commerce. But really it started long before. And so then you got to consider that in the whole, you know, journey for the customer.
And I noticed you use the words customer and member kind of interchangeably. And I just happen to know, as we've gotten to know each other, that you do a lot of work with also like large organizations. So maybe make that distinction just so the audience kind of follows along as we go deeper into the conversation of why you say members versus customers.
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, we work a lot with associations and nonprofits, and oftentimes associations, they're not exclusively, but their largest customer base or their target audiences are their members. Yeah. People who have chosen to affiliate by saying, I'm going to become a member, I'm going to pay you whatever it is, the $200 or the $200,000 to become a member. But even a member can be a customer of your services, and non-members can be customers or users of your services. So I kind of use it interchangeably because when I think about my clients, say your standard association, they might have members, but really they're often thinking much more broadly about the customers of their services. And some of these services are free and some of them are paid, but whatever the service is, you want to make the journeys frictionless. Somebody who wants to learn more about you, someone who wants to figure out how to become a member, someone who wants to use your search. How many times have we gone to a website and thought, I can't find what I'm looking for, so let me try the search. The search is equally useless, you know, either because you're not getting the right results or because you're getting too many or you're not getting anything relevant at all. And so then you abandon. And I think that if you're Amazon, people probably won't abandon. One, because you probably because the search is really good. But also, if you think about it, that really large sites get so much more of the traffic so that the rest of us have to work really hard to make sure that our sites are sticky so that the journeys stay with us.
Yeah. And I want to, just for the audience, so we're not going to go through every point that Joanna made in her writing, because if we did, it'd be a really, really long interview, number one. But number two, you wouldn't go out and buy the book. I'm still selling books here, right?
Yes, we got to buy the book.
I'm going to throw in some teasers here, though, just so you have a feel. But we are going to go into and pick apart a couple of these, definitely. But I'll just read some of it to you. So Joanna wrote about, where does the journey start? Start with the ultimate goal. Bring your most important audiences to life. Identify your most important journeys. Map the journeys and identify the friction points. Describe what amazing customer journeys look like. Get your partners focused on the journeys, not the tech. Don't issue an RFP for a website redesign. It's all about the customer. So a lot to unpack there, but I'll start with one of them that it's just one of my favorites. So start with the ultimate goal. You work with a lot of people, Joanna. This would seem like kind of elementary or kind of basic, or like, duh, there should be a goal. But give us your perspective, because you've been doing this a long time.
You know, thank you for starting with that. So we will often meet with a prospect and they'll say, you know, I need a website redesign. And I'll say, okay, what are we trying to achieve? And they'll say, well, I need a website redesign. And I'll say, okay, but the website in and of itself
I gotta stop you for a second. I'm that person. I've done it. If you're watching this and you're in that boat, we're in the same boat together. I progressed, thankfully, but I started there. What's your goal? Well, for this website, well, I need a website. Why do you need a website? Well, they told me I need a website because we need an online presence. That's the goal. That's not the goal. Okay, Joanna, I just had to, I had to let everybody out there that's in that boat know I've been there too. Please go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think what happens is we focus on the tech, right? And so what's interesting about this is anyone can give you a website, but is the website ultimately furthering your goal and helping you accomplish your goal? So if you're if you sell pants, right? Mm-hmm. The website should help you sell pants. Yeah. If you're an advocacy organization and you lobby on behalf of, health insurance, providers or a pet, food company, then ultimately the website should help you by raising awareness of your issues and kind of getting people to understand what they need to do to support your causes. So it's not about the website, because there are many, many websites out there that are beautiful, but actually are kind of useless, right? Because they're not helping you to increase signups to your newsletter. They're not helping you to increase your customers. They're not helping you to educate the world about what your industry is. So for me, it's about starting with the goal. And it's actually shocking, Adam, to your point, how many times we'll get a request for a proposal and we'll say, what's the goal? And they'll say, well, we want a website. And I'll say, but what are we really trying to do? Are we trying to increase membership? Are we trying to increase registrations to your annual conference? Are we trying to increase sales of your publications? Are we trying to increase the number of people who become authors? Yeah. The number of people who buy the book? What are we trying to do here?
And so great point. And I'm not shocked, Ben. That's why I had to cut you off there for a second to let everybody else know I was that person. And I know there's some of those people watching today. So start with the ultimate goal in mind. I'll skip around here a little bit, but I do want to spend some time on the journey side of things. So identify your most important journeys. What does that mean?
Yeah. So again, when you're thinking about the website or think about your organization as a whole. What are your most important journeys? So let's take one of my clients. It's a certifying body for individuals who fit prosthetics. Mm. In addition, they also accredit the clinics that fit prosthetics. Mm-hmm. So their most important journeys are for people to learn about the certifications, to actually become certified, and actually for the clinics and the facilities to become accredited. So those are actually the most important journeys. Mm. Now, here's why this is important. Because when you identify the journeys, then you can keep your eye on the prize and you can say, all right, are we doing things that are actually furthering what the organization wants to do, which is increase the number of people who are actually certified, so that ultimately the goal is anytime you're getting fitted with a prosthetic, you're actually being served by someone who's properly trained. Right. So that this is actually a good experience. You're going to be healthy. Your life is going to be better, et cetera. So let's keep our eyes on the prize. But here's what's interesting. The process of becoming certified and the process of becoming accredited is actually, when you go through that process, you cross three systems. Hmm. So if you're only focused on the website, you're not going to fix the journey. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Because you're focusing
on the website, but not the portal where you actually fill in the documents that show that you have a quality organization so that you should, you are worthy of becoming accredited. So we say let's focus on the most important journeys. Mm-hmm. It also helps you because then when, you know, I mean, like in the end, organizations have to make choices about how to spend their time and money. Mm. When you know what your most important journeys are, and often these are journeys that benefit the most customers, that bring in the most revenue, that impact the greatest number of people, then you can make decisions about, well, you know, this is 70% of our revenue. It's the annual conference. Or this particular publication brings in 60% of our revenue. Mm. Let's make that really, really a high priority. So, for example, if you had an organization where there's a specific publication brings in 60% of the revenue, and you wanted to redesign the website, I would make sure that the book, that that specific publication really got a lot of priority. And also the process of subscribing or purchasing was absolutely as easy as possible from all the different places. So whether you came from Google or Facebook or social or email or the website, the process of actually purchasing a publication is easy. I'm also going to make sure that there's amazing tracking so that you know where people might be abandoning and where people are coming from.
Yeah. And for everybody watching this, I don't know if you caught everything Joanna just said, but she just taught a masterclass on how to rank this thing. Like you did. You made it sound very simple and easy, but I can say that that journey of prioritizing, if you're watching this and you thought and you're thinking to yourself like, okay, well, I didn't maybe know what the ultimate goal was because it's not intuitive. Even though Joanna lives this and is doing this for her clients every day, like it's not intuitive to, especially if you're still in the standpoint, which I was a long time ago, of thinking of like, well, what, I just need a website. It's so much more than that. If you're tying your if you're ranking your priority based on revenue and what's most important, then there's the opportunity. And you correct me if I'm wrong in this, Joanna, but there's the opportunity to increase that. So, and to increase the revenue from them, from those particular profit centers, because you might not even know, especially if you're not really into the deep into the analytics side of your website, you might not even know where people are falling off.
Yes.
So like I'll throw out a hypothetical and let me know if I'm off. But so for the example you just said, Joanna, let's say there's a registrant or somebody that can't figure out how to get registered. The person that has that website possibly doesn't know that that's happening in the first place, and they're falling off in the middle of registration and they're not coming back. Whereas if they were focusing on that journey, and if that happens to be where the majority of the revenue is coming and they're focusing on that particular journey, the revenue has the possibility to increase from that, because less people maybe will fall off of that registration page during their customer journey. Am I off on this, or am I
understanding? Absolutely. You are not off on this. I mean, I have example after example. We were working with an organization that did coaching, right? So they had a database of coaches, and for free, they were funded by the government. You could go in, you know, kind of search for a coach and then request coaching. So they redesigned their website, and then the number of coaching requests dropped dramatically, and they were absolutely panic stricken. They said, oh my God, Joanna, what just happened? Can you help us? And we said, okay, let's take a look. So we looked at the analytics, and what we realized was that in the old system, you could do a search, request coaching from Adam, hit back, hit coaching, and then request coaching from Joanna. In the new system, you couldn't go back. You had to redo the search. And what we found out from the analytics was that people were going forward and back and forward and back. But in the new system, you could only go forward, and people basically abandoned. They weren't putting in the time, or they weren't willing to invest the time to redo the search. And we found that the traffic just, you know, went over a cliff, and the requests went down a cliff. And we said, we've got to fix this, because basically based on either historically that's what people are used to, or maybe that's just how people think, we've got to fix this. So super, super simple like that.
Yeah. Love it. And I get it. And I'm sure there's mistakes that many have made, including myself along the way, there we've seen certain things like that happen. And I just like these examples because this is what lets people know like it's possible to fix and make better. Jumping around a little bit more here. So I thought this was very interesting that you also, and vital, that you actually added the idea of getting your partners on board for a customer journey and not just the technology. I feel like a lot of times many organizations, ours included, are at times more focused on the tech side of it. And then you kind of drop the ball maybe a little bit on what, why you're doing it in the first place, especially if you're going through like a complete like rebuild or rebrand or something with the website or otherwise. And you're so focused on that, that you're like, okay, what are we telling our customers? This is the point and why we're doing this. So give us some insight on this piece of it, please.
Yeah. So I'm full of stories. So I'm going to tell you a story. So this was a couple of years ago, and we had it was a charity that came to us and said, look, giving season is about to happen, and we would like to make an enhancement to our donation page. And they said, we've got a beautiful design from our design firm, and we need this done in the next 3 weeks. And we thought, my God, 3 weeks. Okay. And we went, but here's the kicker. It sounds really simple, right? A donation page, but the donation page actually involved the marketing company, the email firm, the website company, the membership database, and the donation platform. So like,
it's really simple, just like you said, right?
Yeah, real simple. And the problem was, I won't go into the details, problem was our piece relied on having a piece of tech from the other company. And they said, we can't get it done in time. And I thought, when did you start talking about this? And they said, oh, yeah, you know, sometime over the summer. And I thought, why didn't you get the different tech partners involved? So the marketing folks are thinking, oh, yeah, we'll get this done. They mapped out the marketing plan and when the emails were going to drop and when they were going to do the advertising, but really didn't give the techies enough time, or vice versa. What happens is you focus so much on the tech, and then they'll think, oh, right, we should figure out like how we're going to send out these emails. There are so many places where you end up launching something, but because you didn't talk to your partners, you don't have the right tracking.
Yeah.
Or you, because you didn't let your partners know ahead of time, you end up with, you end up spending extra money, or you end up with journeys that are broken. Well, the email people didn't realize that this was happening, or the website people didn't realize that you were about to send a million emails. And so now the website's going down. So what I say is, again, step back and say, for this particular journey, who is affected? Every single vendor, every single partner. And then get them together and say, here's what we're trying to do. We are going to send a million emails during the month of December with the goal of getting people to give us a bunch of money. And so, and the journey is going to be, they're going to go from social to the website to the donation form, or they're going to go from email to the website to the donation form, or they're going to go from social to the texting platform or whatever it is. So, and everybody gets an opportunity to say, okay, well, if you're going to do that, then we need this to happen. Or if you're going to do that, then we're going to need this much time. Or no, you can't actually do that. Good luck with that. You know, and if you do it early enough, it's not a crisis. And you actually, I think if you're early enough, you can actually allow magic to happen, because one vendor might say, you know, if you give me this, I can save you time over here, or we can actually make this better. Or I have a client that did this, and what do you think about doing this?
Well said. And I know there's people, as we're recording this, we are in the holiday season. And I know there's a couple people watching this that are like, oh yeah, we've been through that, done that. and hopefully this saves some people from making that mistake in the future, which is the whole point of the books and
publishing. Don't be sending out a million emails and not telling your vendors.
Yeah. Good. Joanna, I want to spend some time here on your podcast. I mean, as a fellow podcaster, I just have to say, I mean, obviously we've worked together prior to me knowing about the podcast and some of the other things that you're putting out, but I just love the podcasting idea, community. I love that as a format and medium to express creativity and get our message out there and to really add value to the marketplace. I guess first thing is, why did you decide to start a podcast? Like, why was that on your mind?
Well, so, you know, I have two, right? I've got two. One is professional podcast, and the other one is a personal podcast. So I actually started the personal podcast first because And is it okay for me to tell people about the personal podcast?
Okay. Yeah, no, absolutely. And for full disclosure, I've listened to more of the personal than the professional. For full disclosure, I'm a K-drama fan. It's okay. Go ahead.
Please. So the personal podcast is called K-Drama Chat, mm-hmm. and it's a crazy concept. So during the pandemic, I discovered Korean dramas, which are so amazingly good that I will really only watch Korean dramas these days. So people find me on Instagram, find me on as Ms. Joanna Empineda or K-Drama Chat, and I'll give you recommendations. But the reason I started that podcast is I was talking to a friend and we wanted a way to explore episode by episode all the layers of themes in these Korean dramas. They are so loaded with hidden meaning. So like in your average Korean drama, someone's birthday is really significant. The choice of flower is significant. The choice of the color of the outfits is significant. And frankly, we wanted to geek out on that.
Yeah.
So the other podcast is called Associations Thrive. And it came out of actually about a decade ago, my team and I, we were brainstorming, you know, kind of our webinar lineup, and we decided to do a showcase. Honestly, it just no holds barred. Let's just show off some cool things that we're doing because we just didn't have a good idea. Yeah. And it turned into our most successful webinar because clients and prospects and random people said, what a great idea to go deep and give us kind of the inside story or the background for why these clients did these projects and how they did it, how long it took, how much, you know, it cost, et cetera, and what were the results. Yeah. So then in 2022, we said, why don't we do a podcast and really open it up and tell the story of these associations that are doing unique and creative things to thrive? Because every day I hear about organizations that are doing amazing things, not just our clients, but in general, because I'm a student of what are these organizations doing that's helping them to be successful, to helping them to increase membership, helping them to increase non-dues revenue. So we decided let's celebrate these associations and their leaders because there's people at the top who are really championing and leading and kind of pushing their organizations to do great things. So it's called Associations Thrive. And each week I interview a chief executive of an association. I ask them about their organization. I ask them their journey to becoming the top exec. And then we talk about the one or two things that they're doing to thrive. And Adam, I am learning so much, and these execs are amazing. I'll point out a couple. So like Lindsay Curry from the Council on Undergraduate Research talks about the value of to students of undergraduate research. And she's got this, you know how a lot of associations will have legislative fly-ins?
Yeah.
So instead of a two-day fly-in, they created a six-month advocacy program to teach students and faculty how to articulate the value of undergraduate research to different types of audiences. Lawmakers, your mom, your neighbor, a university CEO. Mm-hmm. And then Tracy Moorhead talked about how the third party did research that shows that skilled nursing facilities that have at least one certified APACA nurse get higher reimbursement rates because they have higher quality outcomes. Like crazy stuff. And then like, you know, Alan DeYoung from the Wisconsin EMS Association told the story of how EMS or emergency medical services in this country is totally broken. It is not considered an essential service. Did you know that?
I did not.
Adam, it turns out that EMS is broken in our country. It's private, it's nonprofit, it's hospital-based, or it's volunteer. It is considered essential in 12 states, but it is not funded. And in some parts of the country, if you call 911, nobody will come.
Wow.
Unbelievable, the stories that I'm getting, and unbelievable, like what I'm learning. I'll tell you one more story. So Russ Webb from the Bay Area Apartment Association, he's got this FOMO event strategy. It's a fear of missing out strategy. Every single event is unique. He makes it different. He doesn't have an annual conference. It's held at the same location every year. He holds it at a different location, different time of year, completely different format.
Wow.
His members are so worried about missing an event because they know it'll never happen again.
Oh.
So they attend every single one. Unbelievably brilliant, right?
Wow. And yeah. He makes an experience then.
He does. The amount of creativity that goes into each event. But imagine, this is the kind of stuff that I'm learning on Associations Thrive. And I mean, like, it's a masterclass for me every single week.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest surprises for myself kind of going down this podcasting journey was, number one, I never really considered, because I'm a lifelong learner, just like you, like you said, I'm a fan of that. I think in a lot of ways I miss and the school days where you could just kind of sit back and learn and read and engage. And to me, like hosting a podcast and having the opportunity to learn, to bring individuals like yourself on, Joanna, who taught me a lot today, gives me the ability to remain in that learner's seat and be a constant learner when especially we can be busy, right? As CEOs, as business owners and running our business and other things like this. You got families, you got this, you got that. To me, the podcast has been, and I say this jokingly to my team, I'm like, I got my break now. Nobody can talk to me. We're going live. Sorry. It's me time. It's almost like my me time.
But well, you're doing video podcasting, which is like a whole different level. I'm just doing audio podcasting because video, you know, this is like my first foray into this. So I'm just doing audio. And I actually like the audio. And obviously video is great. But with audio, I feel like there's no pressure to watch. So I can be puttering around the house and I'm constantly listening to podcasts. And it's amazing how varied my listening is these days. Mm-hmm. Just because there's such amazing content out there. I love it. Absolutely love it.
So, Joanna, I have to say it has been great having you back on the show. I just have to ask, what's next? What's next for you? What's next for Matrix?
So I'll tell you, we are taking our virtual event platform. It's called Bespeak, which was really very successful at the height of the pandemic because we were really producing these very successful virtual events. Yeah. And so what we're doing now is we're helping our clients to develop year-round education portals that aren't Zoom, that really have higher production value and are much more engaging. So that's one thing that I'm working on. The second thing that we're working on is we're spending a lot of time working with our clients on their micro-learning. Mm. We think that's the next big thing. We think that especially Gen Z, they're not as inclined to sit through a 45 or 60 minute presentation. We think that micro learning is going to be the education kind of pedagogy of the future. So micro learning is the big thing for us next.
And so if somebody's watching this and they want to follow your brand, get in contact with Matrix, of course, I need you to repeat the names of both podcasts, even the personal one again, because I want my listeners to go check it out. What's the best way for people to connect?
So if you go to matrixgroup.net, that's the website. And there's actually a way to get in touch with me personally through the blog. You can also find, on the podcast, it's K-Drama Chat is the personal podcast. It's crazy. And then Associations Thrive is the professional podcast. And I mean, I hope people enjoy both of them because I'm certainly enjoying the content in both of them. They're very different.
Yes, amazing. And we'll put, for everybody watching this, we'll put all that information into the show notes so that you can just click on the links and head right on over, and also to pick up a copy of the book. So we'll be putting a link of that in the book in the show notes as well. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging in an episode, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, really how they got to where they're at and why they do what they do. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or engaging to you, hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Joanna, as always, it's been a pleasure. Can't wait till the next time we get to work with each other.
Hey, Adam, I want to plug your video interviews because I listen to most of them, not all of them, but most of them. I love hearing about your guests. I love hearing about their businesses. And there's always one or two nuggets that are just pure gold. So, you know, to the people watching this, subscribe. Amazing stuff. And Adam, thank you. Always a pleasure and an honor to be on this. Thank you.
Thank you.